Today we begin a scripture reading in the book of Romans. Our passage is Romans 1, 1 to 17. You'll find it on page 1194. It's Paul's most systematic, most closely reasoned epistle, dated AD 57. He's ministering in Corinth. He's heard about the church in Rome. He's praying for them. He wants to get to know them. He wants to share a blessing with them. He wants to preach there. And he is providentially hindered. And so he sends his message ahead in written form. Now, if you said, I wonder what it would be like to get the whole Pauline message. Well, Romans is basically your answer as he sends his gospel message ahead. It teaches the necessity of justification through faith alone. Chapters 1 to 4, starting in chapter 5, he shows that the fruit of union with Christ is a transformed life, the doctrine of sanctification. And then he talks about the great eternal hope that believers have. Chapters 9 to 11 is a very famous passage on the relationship between divine sovereignty and individual salvation. And then you have a practical portion that's very rich at the end of Romans. It is one of the greatest documents ever written. Now, in our reading today, we have the introduction, a fairly extended greeting from Paul. Interestingly, he points out his own apostleship from Jesus as a human, a son from the line of David, but notice how he explains Jesus' deity. He was declared to be Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that is a famous and important statement. What does he mean? He means that when Jesus was raised from the dead, the Holy Spirit was proclaiming in power that this was the Son of God. You think of what they said when they mocked him on the cross. If he's the Son of God, let him save himself. Well, something better than that happened. God raised him from the dead. You think how often in the book of Acts, in the preaching of the apostles, the resurrection is the polemic of the apostles for the deity of the Lord Jesus. We see it here. Now, then he talks about his desire to see them, his thanks for them. He's been providentially hindered. And then he gives the great theme statement for the book of Romans in verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. And then he says, for in it, the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Now, these verses are made famous in part by Martin Luther's experience. Martin Luther was struggling with his guilt of sin. And that wasn't insanity, as people have said. That was rationality. He was aware of God's holiness, his own sin. And he's studying the Bible, and he sees the gospel. That means good news. And then it talks about the righteousness of God, and it offended Luther. It made him mad. The righteousness of God is not good news, it's bad news. I'm going to go to hell because he's righteous. And he wrestled with this. And it was in realizing from these verses that the righteousness spoken of here is God's righteous fulfillment of his covenant promises for sinners. It is the righteousness that God gives through faith so that we may be justified. Luther's life was changed. He was saved by that means. He did what we should do. He told others about it, and the result was the Protestant Reformation. Well, with all that in mind, then, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 1 of Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.